I am so excited for today because it's my first episode doing hot topics. There are so many amazing hot topics that I really wanted to talk about. So I just picked three. Today, we're talking about LinkedIn. Is it the latest place to find your human? What? LinkedIn? I may try it. I'm single. We have another one who's single on the line as well. And we have some marrieds that are here to talk about it with us today. But secondly, we're going to talk about New York Fashion Week. They had models, almost said women, but yes, women, models over 40. And we're not talking just one or two models walking the runway in one particular show. All of them were over 40, 50, 60, 70. It was a beautiful sight to see. We're going to talk about that. And thirdly, do you have any regrets in life, or do you think you will towards, sadly, the end of life? Let's talk about that. Let's get this show, this podcast party going. Grab your mug. It's our morning podcast party. And I'm bringing on stage my guests. We have Lisa Bennett out of Dallas, Texas, my bestie since 1993. Hello, Lisa.
Hi, Barbara. Thank you for having me.
I'm so excited. And then Teresa Byrne, you're right here in Denver, Colorado. Hello, Miss Teresa. You and I are the single girls, so hello. I can't wait to see what you and I have to say about LinkedIn dating. And then we have, yay, Julie. You and I have been, like Teresa, friends for quite some time. And you're the video girl. You're the one who's behind our Second Act Women and my Brandy when it comes to video. And so I'm so excited to have you. So we have two marrieds and two singles. And I want to jump into talking about first, before we go into LinkedIn dating. Oh my gosh, how crazy is that? That is like the newest thing. Let's talk about life. Let's talk about any regrets we may have in life. It seems as though, I don't know if I'm the only one. I can't remember. I know, Lisa, you're not. I know, Teresa, you're on the edge of caregiving. And then Julie, I'm not sure if you have caregived yet. But as a new caregiver, in the fact that 19% of Americans are caregivers today, which means that's your second job, frankly. Mm-hmm. I don't know. For me, I've been thinking about life differently every time I visit my mom. And so I ran across, Facebook served me a memory from probably, I think this video is maybe 10 years old, and I had saved it. And it is a video about really everybody, let me see what it says. Everybody dies, but not everyone lives. So before we dive into this first topic, let me play the first few minutes of this video. It is quite something to see. So let me just share screen and we are going to watch this video. It's fascinating. So stand by. And if you're on Instagram, I'm going to tell you what, this video is, I will share it. And if you're listening to us, take a listen. It's very deep. We're going to listen to the first minute and a half.
It is not death most people are afraid of. It is getting to the end of life only to realize that you never truly lived.
You've never truly lived.
There was a study done, a hospital study, on 100 elderly people facing death close to their last breath. They were asked to reflect about their life's biggest regret.
Biggest regrets in life.
Nearly all of them said they regretted not the things they did, but the things they didn't do, the risks they never took, the dreams they didn't pursue. I ask you, will your last words be, if only I hit, hey, you, wake up. Why do you exist? Life is not meant to simply work, wait for the weekend, and pay rent. No, no, I don't know much, but I know this. Every person on this earth has a gift. And I apologize to the Black community, but I can no longer pretend. Martin Luther King, that man never had a dream. That dream had him.
So if we think about this, That is powerful. And when I ran across this, I thought, wow, since a lot of us, again, are, you don't even have to be a caregiver, but as we're all in our 50s, what do you think about that? Just the idea that that's one of the biggest regrets. What are your thoughts, Teresa, on this? Because you've come close to death.
I did. Literally. We looked each other in the eyes and went, fare thee well. See you later. It's not me, it's you. So I remember when I was running the martial arts studio and I was working my butt to the bone because that's what I thought you did to run a business. And one of my girlfriends got married in Amsterdam. And I said, I can't go. I've got to work. My other girlfriends rented a house in Mallorca after the wedding. It is one of the biggest regrets and most exemplary examples, like adventures. What adventures am I stopping myself from having? What experiences am I stopping myself from having? Because that's how work is. You work all the time. You work constantly. You've got to be available. I'm so sad that I missed. Leanne, if you're watching, I'm sorry I missed your wedding. I'm still sorry to this day, but.
So if I could ask you, Julie, because I'm going to come and ask what, if you've thought about what that regret, what that thing is going to be, you just answer it, Teresa. Julie or Lisa, what do you think?
I think for me, you know, when you're young, you have this sort of clear vision of like the world and what you want to do. And you have these dreams, assuming, you know, you have all your needs taken care of and you're in a safe place. And then you kind of go through 20 something years of just doing what you think you need to be doing, obligations, everything. And then if you're lucky, you start to crack back open in middle age. Around, for me, it was after having a child and then soon after turning 40, I was like, whoa, I don't want to be here. I don't want to be doing this. I don't want to be living this life. And then it was just, you know, it's not like that was it, the end, like I'm living my best life. It meant that I was slowly trying to be like, what can I do? How can I make things a little better? And still, I you know, it's a constant, I don't want to say struggle, but it's a constant thing that I need to be mindful about. And, you know, as far as caregiving, you know, my father passed away 10 years ago or so, 7 years. I'm really bad with years. I'm sorry. Anyway, let's say around 7 years ago. And I was working. And honestly, I had an incredibly supportive team. It was me that was like, I should be at work. I shouldn't take too much time off. I need to be like doing what I, you know, like performing at my, you know, at least 90%. And I look back at that now. Luckily, I had a team that was essentially like pushing me out the door. Like, you need to go spend time with your father. I was in a situation where I had some, you know, my sisters and my mom that were also helping out. And I did get to spend that time, but I just think like, it just gives me chills. Like, whoa, like what's more important than being with someone on their last days and still in your head, you're like, ooh, like if I don't do this, someone else is going to have to do this for me at work or, I, you know, it's kind of,
yeah.
Crazy. Yeah. I had a unique position.
Yeah,
you do. Julie. I did.
Share it.
My grandfather, actually, I became a caregiver for my grandfather, and that's a really unique position to be in, and especially for my children. So not many people get to live multi-generational with their great-grandfather. And so for 11 years, we had my grandfather in our home. And because of the separation of that generation, it was really an incredible experience. But I got to see the regrets that he had and that he was struggling with from the years of 82 to 96 as he looked at his life and what he might have done different. And I think if you look at the regrets that to have regrets is human. I think if you don't have regrets, that's just you're not taking as many chances as you should. And so it's interesting to hear, Teresa, that you regret not being at that wedding. I know that being friends with Barbara over the last 30 years, that is one thing she knows about me. If there is a special thing a birthday, a trip, a wedding that I can be there for, I'm definitely going to do that. But like you were saying, Julie, if you don't look at your life and analyze what regrets, you're going to learn from all of them. So don't wallow in the regrets that you have. Move on, but to self-reflect and evaluate, you only grow from those regrets. And so, Teresa, I'm sure in the end, if you had another opportunity, you would go for that, right? You would say, I'm going to be there because you learned your lesson that you didn't want to do that. I know for me, some of the regrets that I have is I do take all those chances and go on the girls' trips to the weddings. And I learned a great lesson in life from ladies I worked with at American Express while I was at Simon Malls, where Barbara and I met. And I had a son who was in elementary school. He was playing a bear in elementary school at a play, and I wasn't going to go because he just had one line, although I love being in theater. And I remember Carolyn Shapiro and Leah Kemp, I love you ladies and appreciate you so much. So blessed to work with you. And they said, change your flight today. These meetings can wait. We're in New York City at their conference room at American Express corporate headquarters. And I made that decision and I'm so glad that I did. So just a few examples of that.
Well, and Lisa, you know, we won't go into some of the things that we know also that you've experienced in life, but yeah, and being a Christian woman, you know, you do probably look at life differently from others that have not experienced some of the things that you have experienced in your life. Jen, we're talking about, we have Jen on the line. Jen, we just started, as you saw, you're in the back there. What do you think about the topic of everybody lives, but are we living? And so will we have any regrets at the end of life? What do you think about that?
So that's a really good question. I think some people don't think about it much. I think some people have been stunned into submission. Women have been stunned into inactivity because of childhood programming, social construct, or trauma. And I have absolutely been guilty of that. And we need to find our own way of breaking out of that, whether it's, you know, trauma counseling or professional help, or even just getting comfortable with digging in and doing the deep inner work. Because we can't outsource that. We can outsource a lot of things in our business. This will continue to be a block if we don't address that and do the deep inner work. But, so I think some women cope with that in different ways and tend to retreat. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. And what's interesting, somebody had posted inside of one of the social medians about life, how there's no overtime in life. Like that is there is none. So we need to be living. And the way that I'm looking at life is so differently. I think also because I'm in a pro, I've now kind of transitioned to being a pro ager, living a pro age life. And that's kind of my brand now, is to go out and make sure that we are living the life that we want to live and that we don't have regrets. Although, as Lisa, you said, there will still be regrets. Any time in life, there will always be regrets. But I was visiting my mother for Easter, and it wasn't easy. I was telling the ladies beforehand, before we jumped on, that it set me back. I live with depression, so it set me back on Sunday for a minute. Just thinking about what my mom must be thinking, because my mom, as probably a lot of our parents, pardon me, she's very strong. She's always been, Lisa knows, she's extremely independent. I was a latchkey kid and my mom like worked to keep that house. There's so many other stories. And so all I could think about is here she is going on 87 in July and she's not happy. I can tell. So there's the grumpiness now. She was basically saying, I don't need to visit as much. I don't want to be a burden. I don't want you to feel like I'm an obligation. And it just had me think, now I'm as stubborn as her, so I'm still going to keep visiting her once a week because I don't think she really meant it. I think that was her way of saying you need to live your life. but I do look at life so differently now. And I want to be like Carol Burnett, who's in her 90s, Rita Moreno, in their 90s, right? Living their best lives. Look, Carol Burnett just started a brand new series on with Kristen Wiig on Apple. I mean, that's where I think we all want to be, right? Yes. So if I could ask you all one question, and if you may not have the answer now, and I'm still working through what is this thing that I don't want to have regrets on. Do you know what your answer would be? What is that thing that you will look back on even as you're living your life in your 80s? What is that thing you're going to look back on and say, I'm glad I did that. I will not have regret that I did that.
Oh, that's such a good question. Right? There's two stories that quick stories I can share that came to mind as you know, maybe it gives everybody else a chance to think about an answer. I don't think it's one thing. I think it's a way of behaving. And with the things that I've gone through over the last few years, a pretty significant trauma, and then I think back to things that my mom has brought to the table, there's one specific story that jumped to my mind, Barbara, when you started feeling very moved by this. And I think it just, when I share this with you, you probably understand that it speaks to the way that women were conditioned for so many years. I'd gone home to visit my mom. It was shortly after my dad passed away very suddenly. This was, you know, more than 20 years ago now. However, life looks very different when there's a sudden death and the obligations and the pressure that women have in life to pick up the pieces after there's been loss in family is great. And it had been not right away, but after one of those visits afterwards, and I asked her, I said, so mom, you know, what's on your bucket list, right? I was trying to spark some passion in her to get her to dare to dream so I could help support her in her aging years. And I said, so, you know what, the question I asked was, what do you want to be remembered for? Similar to what you're asking. And it broke my heart, because she felt so beat down, and she says, no one's going to remember me when I'm gone. And that to me is, now I know a lot of other things underneath that led up to that, as far as her years of service and her years of dedication, her years of sacrifice to, you know, the kids and the family. And I think that's just very telling that is some of the things that women carry. And now I'm one generation removed from her. Yet we all know that generational trauma and social construct and pressure gets carried all throughout. So does anybody else have something that they can share that informs?
Yes.
I don't have the answer. Absolutely.
Generational trauma. Wow.
Absolutely.
Teresa.
I'm actually picking my mom up today, and we're going on a cruise for the next couple of weeks. Leaving tomorrow.
I love that. How old is your mother?
82.
Oh, what a blessing.
And she loves the cruise. And this is a passion.
I do too. I did it for the first time a couple of years ago. It was fun.
Same. And my brother and I took my mom on a cruise because that's her thing. And it's her passion. And I'm embarrassed to say, I was looking at it like an obligation. And
Like,
I got to go do a thing. I'm not a big fan of like sitting on a cruise ship and, you know, being stuck in a tin boat or, you know, whatever the boat's made of. A boat.
Well, because you've got many black belts and you're used to, you know, being active.
Right. Well, and I can do that. But, and I realized I shifted my thinking yesterday, and I'm like, this is her girl's trip. This for her is an opportunity to connect and have fun. And why was I looking at it like an obligation? And it changed my in a
your
moment,
mindset
in a moment. And my generational, we are worriers. I come from a long line of people, women who have made the art of worry a language, a love language. And I have to shift from that into gratitude and joy. And like, what can I do to make this super fun for her? And how can I be of service? Because I don't know how many more years I get her. And I love my mama.
Yes, I love that. Julie. And Julie, you can stay off of me. You can keep, you don't have to mute. Julie and Lisa, yeah.
Oh my gosh, I love that, by the way, Teresa. I think for me, I think kind of a lifelong lesson is just visibility and, spending so many years of just not wanting to be visible. And I want to be clear, like there's so much technology that doesn't necessarily, visibility means something different for everybody, right? And maybe that's just in your own very local community or with your family and friends. It doesn't mean you have to be an influencer, you know, be on TikTok every minute or anything like that, at least for me. It just means that, I guess, you know, that not playing small things. So I think, you know, fast forward to hopefully a long time from now when, you know, I'm on, you know, my last days here on this beautiful earth. I think it'll be about that. Like, what are the things that I did necessarily? What's that list? But like, you know, how did I play?
Yeah. Yeah. Lisa.
I think, Julie, what's kind of interesting, did she say that you are, no, it's actually Teresa that's the videographer.
No, I am.
Julie is.
Okay. So Julie, I thought that was the case. So I think when you're saying behind the scenes, I mean, as we talked about, that is your gifting, right? Mm-hmm. And so you're using that gift to highlight others, but you're being seen by using that gift. And so I think that is something that's pretty spectacular. I am so excited for you, Teresa, going
I'm so
on
hot flashing. Pardon me.
I'm going on this trip with your house. I need a little fan there. Going on a trip with your mother. I actually am, my mother's husband just passed away. They were together for 25 years. And so being instead of from a generation of warriors where I'm a generation of very independent women. And I think for me, the thing that I always say is I'm not responsible for my forefathers' iniquities. As Barbara mentioned, I live my life by faith. And so that always struck me. That was something like in my heart, even as a child, when I didn't even know what it meant. So it's looking at that and being sure that I make myself vulnerable, because I think that's so hard to do, especially if you have, as Jen mentioned, have had trauma in your life as a child or even as an adult. So I think for me, I'm just the one regret I will not have is making myself vulnerable and believing in the fact that I could have a very loving and successful relationship with my husband that we are getting ready to celebrate 26 years this May. And so that's just such a blessing and something that for me, as I was growing up, I just shut that down because I didn't want to have disappointments like I had seen my mother go through. Luckily for us, she was blessed. Like I just said, we actually got married the same year. It was her fourth husband, but my first, and we got married the same year. And so I'm excited, like you are, Teresa, to be able to go to Mexico, a place that she loves and is passionate about, with her in just a few weeks, to be with her as she grieves because her husband just passed away. And just again, making myself vulnerable. And I'm excited because I get to bring my sweet daughter, who's just getting out of college, that will need that time with her grandmother. Mm-hmm. And that's what she loves. She loves to give those experiences. And so looking forward to that time of just being there for her and being whatever it is that she needs. Super excited about that. And then the vulnerability, because it's not always easy, right? It's not always easy to have, you know, those relationships. I know for you, Barbara, that's one thing that I've always admired about you and your mother is that close relationship. And if only I could be there, like I always want to, I always say, I want to go visit your mother at her home when I've been in Colorado. She's such a blessing. Mm-hmm. And burden is never a category or adjective anyone would ever use on her.
Right.
She embraces you like you're her daughter if you're in Barbara's circle of friends. And so the accomplishments that she's had just with her service to her country, her service to her community, and certainly her service to all of your friends. So burden should never be in her vocabulary. She is one incredible woman to be, reveled and admired. So
thank you for that. And it's so crazy because that's not a word I would have ever thought would have come out of my mom's mouth when she said that. So I was kind of taken aback. And again, for the whole day, I had to come home and watch a lot of reality TV to get to get my mind away from the negative feelings that I had about just her thinking that.
But this way, if you've lived independently and with strength and power your whole life, and all of a sudden it's not your relationship to her being a burden. It's like she doesn't feel like 100% of who she's always been. And the mindset is different. My mom has said the same thing. I'm like, she's like, I don't want to weigh heavy on you kids. I'm like, oh my God, mom, we love you. Yes. You can move in with us. Like, we'll take care of you.
And you and Michael are already, what I love is you two, her brother, Michael, who is fine. Is
he on LinkedIn? Dip into our topic.
And then he is ready. Michael Byrne.
I love that. And one of your high schoolers and friend of mine too, Bonnie is watching. But yeah, what I love is you guys are already setting the stage for your parents and for caregiving. You're already making those plans. Nice. Well, I wanted to start. I know that was a deep convo, but I feel like us being this 40 plus or that, those are things that we need to think about. And that I have had conversations with other people about. I want to tap into, let's jump into this. This is, oh my goodness, Models Wanted, must be over 40. Do you know that Bathsheba Hay, who is a very popular designer, national, worldwide designer, decided that, you know what, and she's over 40 as well. She decided, you know what, as women over 40, 50, 60 plus, why do I need to have just one or two models represent this age group and my line of clothing? I'm going to go out on the streets of New York City and find real women who are over this age group in this very significant, beautiful life stage that we're in. And I'm going to have all of my models be over 40. I just found this to be so fascinating because it's not uncommon, as it turns out, to have a few, or we kind of know that a couple of designers have done this in the past where they've had one or two walk, you know, to make a statement. They're having one or two to have us be seen. What I love is Bathsheba decided that, you know what, I'm going to have all of us be seen. So let me just show you this video real quick that I peeped on, let me just stop screen. Let me find this video that I found from her show. It is awesome. Check this out.
And everyone was like really excited to feel seen, to feel included, to feel just also to participate in dressing and getting dressed up.
I mean, look at this. Every age, every size, every height, gray hair, not gray hair, natural hair, not natural.
High heels and forever, or makeup, or all of that kind of stuff. So, and I think that the clothes really reflected that. Like, you know, they're kind of covered, but playful, but also not trying to be anything other than how I am. I think that's how it started. Like, I'm not trying to be young. I'm not trying to be cool. I'm just trying to, like, make all the shapes that I want to wear.
Yeah.
Add the fun flourishes that feel exciting to me.
I love this because what I love that she said is she's not trying to be young. She's not trying to be cool. We're not trying to do, that's how I feel like this age group is. We're not trying to make statements. We're just living our lives. We're wearing what we want. We're doing what we want. We're wearing our gray or not wearing
our raves.
Right? You know, we're getting many black belts. Hello, Teresa. You know, we're starting companies. Julie, you're about to start another company, Made Contently. Jen, you have your company. Flip. Oh, you know what? I need to have all of you guys introduce yourselves officially, by the way. We'll do that before we get into LinkedIn dating. I got so darn excited about having you all. And then Lisa, you have had a beautiful career in shopping center marketing and then a few others after that. And you're in an entirely different industry, which also says to women that we can swivel careers completely, you know, and go into whatever it is we want to do. So I want to open this up for discussion. how fabulous is this that we're being seen on stage?
Well, Barbara, our careers started together in
the- Oh my God, wait a minute. Lisa, pardon me. Look what somebody just said. Are we trying to look up your Teresa's profile?
That is awesome.
Hey.
That's too funny. Go ahead, Lisa.
And I hope he's single. Yes. And so you and I started in this industry, right? The fashion industry, shopping center marketing. And what I think is so incredible about this, as both of us being marketers, you know, lifelong marketers, if I was in charge of her PR, I would have said, this is a great way to think outside of the box, to get people involved. Because when you have people involved, which we always used to do in the shopping center industry, we would bring in the community because then they would bring in their friends and that would increase traffic and exposure and attention to something. She might have just gained another, you know, those 10 to 20 models and their 50 to 80 friends that may have never even looked at her line would look at it. So from the marketing and PR perspective, I love the idea. From the strategic, who do you market to? Who is your audience? What do you need to sell? That's what, of course, with me loving data, that I'd love to dig into a little bit more. And then long term, I'd like to see the success of how the line does. You're putting yourself out there, too. I love her confidence, because if you've read some of the comments, it's not always going to be positive, because if you're true to yourself, you might get some negative comments. But the one thing I really loved is how she did have I think it was Keds Shoes, and she had a rebrand with Keds with her line. And I thought that was also an incredible reach for her. And just thinking outside of what the norm is for fashion and that industry. So I really enjoyed that and thought it was, whether she was trying to be cool or not, she did hit the mark from expanding her audience.
Agreed.
Yeah. So
I wish you would have picked up.
Yeah.
I was just going to add, it's nice to see that the fashion, the apparel industry is coming more in line with the reality of work. Unbeknownst to many people, I started off in the fashion industry at a different age and stage. So I went to FIT and I got my undergraduate degree in marketing and merchandising. And so I've worked a little bit in New York City and then also in Los Angeles. My first corporate experience was with Guess in Los Angeles. And, you know, the fashion industry is not known necessarily for putting a lot of emphasis on education. It's a lot of, you know, who you know. So a lot of it's who you're sleeping with, quite honestly, and how you're going to advance and get seen. And for me, I was much more cerebral. And I just found a lot of that to be very shallow. I found a lot of the industry initially, in my limited experience, not saying that it's all like that. My experiences were just that I was craving more. And then eventually, as it happens, you know, that industry is very much hire and fire, slash and burn. And so they're going to cut departments and people who are spending money. And again, you know, when you're in marketing and merchandising, you're spending money, which adds to sales and revenue, yet it becomes one of the first targets. So it became, you know, one of those things that I don't regret, yet it shaped and informed the trajectory of my future personally and professionally in a tremendous way. That being said, it's really nice to see that an industry such as fashion and apparel, which is very visible because it speaks to a lot of the emotions and appeal, it's incorporating real life. Because you know what? All those young models, we're going to age. We're all going to age. We're all going to go through menopause. We're all going to go through depression and hot flashes. We need to be the change that's going to send the elevator down for the next gal who's going to go through it.
You know what's funny? I love that you just said that, because literally all of us just aged 37 minutes. 37 minutes. So if you're aging, you're living. Yes. Jen, I knew there was kismet when I met you because I studied fashion merchandising at CSU. Okay, and that's why I got into the mall industry. I wanted to be a buyer, y'all, originally, but then I saw what buyers had to do and go through, and it wasn't as glamorous. And so I went into the mall industry where I was with Lisa, with the Simon Property Group, which is the largest shopping center developer. That is so funny. Jen and Julie, Julie and Teresa, what do you have to say to that?
I love it. It was so cool. I am, you know, Lisa, to your point, the marketing of this show was pretty cool because I went on to her website and I was like, oh, she has really cute things. And I love that on the runway. Well, first of all, not only did she take only hire women 40 and over, but she had women that were in their 70s, which is so cool, right? Like, it could have been easy for her to be like, okay, I'm going to dabble in 40s and 50s, you know, mainly 40s. But she took women in their 70s, and it was cool. And honestly, I love, like, I actually watched the whole fashion show. And there were some sheer lace things showing off legs. And I was like, yeah, that's amazing. Yeah. I do have to say, I know that some other designers have also, you know, sprinkled in a few women over their 40s. And I actually think that's really cool. And I think from a marketing standpoint of that might almost be more powerful as far as like making, you know, all of these women, whether, you know, you're 18 or you're, you know, however old you're going to be, like everyone, you know, can wear my designs, you know, everyone can be visible, like you matter. And I think like women of different ages walking together is really powerful.
There's something to be said for that, right? That whole, I was 44 when I became a master instructor in martial arts. And the idea, my background is more like some television and a movie. I can't say movies because I was only in one movie. But there's this whole also fashion translates over into media and what we're seeing in entertainment. And we are seeing women of varying ages. You were talking about Carol Burnett. So I think it's eking fashion and Betty White, y'all. Can we talk about how cool Betty White is and her cracking everyone up? But I think that I love seeing this wave. It ain't about your age. It ain't. We talk about pro aging, but it's like, it's a number, man. It ain't about what it's not who you are. That is a line on a birth certificate.
That's right. And you know, I was at a conference last week in San Francisco. It's the American Society on Aging, and it was their conference. And there were 2,500 of us from various companies, from Uber, who I just learned has Uber Health. They will actually deliver things to your home, no matter your age. This is just a thing that they do. To Google. Yeah. I mean, it was these small companies to large companies like AARP that we're talking about. You know, age tech is the new billion-dollar industry. And it's interesting because it really turns out to be how long you live is really, I think we all kind of know this innately. It's really how you treat your body and your mind and staying aware and continually, if puzzles were your thing when you were young, keep it going because it keeps your mind fresh and, you know, and doing all those things that really keep our minds aware and engaged as we grow older. I say as a single woman, I mean, hopefully I'll find my human in the next year or two, but if I don't, it's okay because I want to do the whole Golden Girls thing because, you know, we do live longer than men. I'm sorry, Greg, if you're in the room, that's Lisa's Greg. But, you know, Americans are living to 80.2. That is the average when we think about what it used to be way back when we were only living to 40 or something back in that was, of course, the way, you know, way back. But also going to something you said, Jen, our buying authority as women over between 40 and 64 is $15 trillion that brands continue to miss out on. And inside of this conference, it was said that most of us over 50 have the same devices, multiple devices, as 18 to 49 year olds. We have the tablets. We have the smart gear, the smart TVs. We have all of that. So this the idea that we somehow hit a certain age, don't have the want or the need for fashion or tech and all of that. I mean, I could just go on a diatribe, is really bunk. And so, yeah, I thought that was a fresh take on, and I hope to see more designers and others like Michael Kors and others that, you know, do have notoriety, do that, have an entire, and they don't even have to have it where it's just all of it. It could be 20% this age, 20% this, like balance it out, balance it out. We like fashion, right, Jen?
Yeah, well, the business case for that is very compelling, not only from purchasing power for women. Women live longer than men. There's a difference we're finding between health span and lifespan, right? We're putting more life in our years because of things like epigenetics, and that's a different topic for a different time. Yet the business case for marketing and meeting the needs of our 40s and 50 plus community is huge. It's huge.
It's huge. It's huge. Now, I want to take a moment and have all of you introduce yourselves officially, since I got so darn excited about doing my very first Hot Topic episode. I'm going to start with how I'm seeing everyone on my screen. Take 30 seconds to just say who you are, what you do, and anything else about yourself. Lisa, you're next to me on screen. Go for it.
Lisa Bennett. I'm doing marketing for a B2B software company. I have about 30 years of marketing experience, and so excited to be here. And the thing I'm focused on, of course, is technology and how that's affecting and automation and how it's affecting our lives to make us more efficient.
Oh my gosh, you need to go to that conference, or there are age tech conferences. It's amazing what's out there for us. There are literally computers that are companions for us, because there's a new term called solo agers. That's what we are now. If you're you and I are solo agers. And now they have these companion, literally this thing that sits there and she talks to you and she has a name, and yes, it's amazing. So Lisa and I go back 30 years, as we said at the beginning there. Teresa, you're next to me, or you're next to Lisa.
Hi. So my company name is InPower, and I help people access that inner power, the innate, inherent, divine, God-given talent and beauty that they are, and stop them from putting their power outside it. Really, I help stressed out achievers stop overdoing and people pleasing so that they can learn how to live a more empowered, self-centric lives.
Girl, and I met you many, many years ago, and you opened up for one of our conferences, and it was like standing ovation. You kicked off our conference at the Microsoft Denver headquarters for BizLifeCon with power. It was hard to follow you, whoever came next.
somebody came next, yeah. Right?
Jen, you're next.
Hey, thanks. I'm Jen. I'm also known as Biz Mentor Jen, because as a business and a wellness mentor, I guide women to be healthier and wealthier in their life and work with a 5X ROI. I learned the hard way from my management consulting days that our work and our wellness are inseparable. When we feel well first, that's when we're going to go on to do well too. And when we're trying to build a business or a career on a crumbly foundation, it is not sustainable. So that's why every client I work with, and I've blended this unique combination of business and wellness, because they're absolutely inseparable, in my opinion.
They sure are. They intersect. And COVID was proof of everyone entering our, who would have thought that we would let our coworkers or people know what our houses look like? I would have never thought that. So Jen, I'm not sure how I met you, but I love that you contribute so much to our community inside of Facebook, our 5,300 Facebook community. Thank you for you. I just made her a moderator. I'm like, girl, I need you to do more. I love what you do. I'm just going to make it official.
Thank you. I'm happy to help. And just real quick, it really came from really breaking out of that pandemic shell. We're all craving community. I hear it from my clients. And as I'm in a different age and stage with my family and kids and husband, community is really what's missing. And I learned the hard way through different loss and trauma that it's that human connection through community that we're wired for it, whether we admit it or not.
We absolutely are wired for it, which is why locally, because Lisa's in Dallas, why locally I have brought back more, we have social work for one thing, where we go and we work, we do a pop-up and we work from a different location, whether it's a restaurant or a co-working space, and then we're doing a traditional happy hour afterwards. Because hello, don't we miss happy hours? I mean, they go back to circa 2019, I think is when they were popular. Julie, introduce yourself.
My name's Julie. I am a producer and content creator, and I guess I'm one of those rare birds who I went to school for television broadcasting communications, and I've stuck with it ever since in some form. Back then, though, I was literally toting around a 20-pound camera. So things have changed.
Oh my God, that's right.
Just like things have changed. I went into, broadcast operations, and then finally got into creative and became a producer, did a lot of corporate and television stuff, some film. And now I'm based here in Denver, and I do a lot of branded videos, work with a lot of women, help them tell their stories. And I love it. And I'm excited to very soon here offer some new packages that can allow me to work with people wherever they live to help them create content. As we know, content is so important. So
important. And you know, she's responsible for one of our many sizzle reels, but the one that we launched our company off of, we call it the Oprah video. And it's a beautiful story because you are a storyteller that opens up about, you know, how it is a youth obsessed society. And there's nothing wrong with youths because we're all Gen Xers. So I never want to bag on it. I believe in intergenerational teens and all of that. But because of how society views us as we hit a certain age, this video that she created is just beautiful. And you're doing a lot. We've been doing a lot of things since I met you six or seven years ago now.
And so I do have to give a shout out to Ben, our 20-year-old ally at the time, who actually started the project, and I kind of ripped it from his hands. I was like, I need to be doing this. I was working with him on a different project. He was one of my editors, and I was like, well, I need to be involved with Second Act Women. And he was like, okay.
Well, listen, Ben's in LA trying to be an actor anyway, but we loved Ben. Yes, we loved Ben. So we're going to tap into this last subject very briefly. I do want to say one thing. This is the LinkedIn dating. Oh my gosh, there was an actual article in the Business Insider and every place else. And I got this idea on the, there was inside of the Denver Marketing Mavens Facebook community. Someone had talked about getting picked up and how she's getting more and more picked up inside of LinkedIn. And it's happened to me as well. And I thought, let me Google this to see if this is a thing. There is a thing. But before I do that, I want to say this. Let's scrap the words bucket list that we all use. I, as my former business partner who also worked on that project with Julie Lupe, what knows that I say, I've been saying this, let's call it a live life list. Who wants to think about ending life when you're doing something very fun and you're literally ticking things off of a list with the words bucket list at the top of it? Everyone does it. Everyone says it. So let's just give it a new name. Let's reframe it. Let's rebrand the bucket list. I just wanted to say that.
Buckets never made sense to me. Like, I'm not going to carry a bunch of buckets unless I'm on a sand and they have those mosquitoes and I have a cabana boy. Like, that's my bucket.
That is so true. Okay, check this out. Oh my gosh, I love it. Is LinkedIn the hottest new dating site? I'm curious because not everyone's going to know if you're single or not. So I'm curious how this is even working. But it says here, according to the Business Insider, that people are mixing business with pleasure. And could anything go wrong with this, or could all go right? There's an entire article. But before we dive into this, y'all, let me read this. Pardon me. Let me read this, a partial part of this Facebook post. Of course, I'm not going to call anybody out. I don't even know this woman. I just found this fascinating. And it was a long post, but I'm just going to tap into a little bit of it. So it says, as a female with an attractive photo on my profile, LinkedIn profile, I get private messages from men I don't even know. And frankly, I'm annoyed by them because they come across very insincere. Even older men's messages, I kind of like that word, older men's, but older men's messages are really infantile. I'd say 70% of them are from fake profiles, especially, she goes into a couple of things. They're the ones with zero connections and zero information. Okay, there's that. But some of them are from legit people, but the messages seem so flirtatious and childish. I'm not one to flirt. I prefer straight and to the point kind of conversations and written messages. But, okay, here's the but. I find this interesting. She said, but recently, for the first time in my life, I came across someone I'm interested in that has not approached me on LinkedIn. I know he's single because an acquaintance of mine to whom I showed his profile to knows him and has worked with him for a brief period of time. I just asked her if she knew him because they are in the same profession. It's very small niche. It's a very small niche. So I just asked, but here's the thing. She's now wondering if she should do what these people have been doing to her. Are there any other ways that she can suggest to meet him? And would LinkedIn be the place? Oh my goodness. So now she's annoyed with it, yet ding, 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 there's somebody on there. I have been approached. It's only happened one time, and it started out with a conversation, a back-end conversation. Somebody who worked with a very large worldwide media organization. They were in marketing behind the scenes, but they held a very high position, a VP position in marketing for a media organization. And we started out just with back-end DMing each other saying, oh, I didn't know you knew this person. Oh, I knew this person in media as well. And next thing you know, I don't know, a couple of weeks later, it turned into flirtatious. And I will say I gave into it because I found it fascinating. And I found this person attractive. But, you know, it didn't go any further because, you know, all you have to do is Google 100% of everything and find out if somebody's single or married. This person happened to be married. I was like, ixnay, out of here. That's not what I'm looking for. So we're still friends on LinkedIn, but it didn't go any further because that's not how I roll. But curious if this has ever happened to you, Teresa, as a single, or even any of you, because they don't know if you're single or not. And if it hasn't, what? Is this the thing? What do you think?
Think about, when Tinder and all these other apps came out, it was like TV. It is literally a distraction and you're like swiping on people. Yes. LinkedIn, you see someone's life. It's not the curated app content, plus catfishing. You don't know if someone's real. If they've got a LinkedIn profile, it is real. I started getting hit up on Facebook Messenger probably 10 years ago.
Oh, wow.
Before Facebook. And I met some great people. Guys, I really met some really great men. And they became friends. And I dated a few of them. And it was fine because you could see each other's real life. And I think that anytime you have a desire for connection and authenticity, you're going to, who doesn't Google somebody that they're interested in? Well, LinkedIn is like a faster version of, you know, are they telling the truth? And the other thing I was going to suggest for the woman who was like, should I reach out? Yes. Because here's what, love is an energy. Even attraction is this like divine, awesome energy. You don't know what it's there for. You might judge it like I'm weird, I'm wrong, but go with that energy. When you're attracted to something, it's pulling towards you. Call into that. Even if you create a friendship, even if you create a conversation, something is going to come out of it because that's how we're divinely wired. That attraction means something. So reach out, do it casually and say, hey, I'm really curious about, make something up. If you're open to conversation about more of this, let me know. Make it casual. Make it curious. Be curious.
I love that. What do you all say to that? I would. I'd go for it. I'm single. Why not? If they were single.
Would you go for it via LinkedIn?
Well, depends on who they're connected to. I will say, if they are, and I can't even get an example of who they would be connected to that I wouldn't pursue. If I'm the pursuer, that is. If they are pursuing me or sending me a little note, I would see, I guess, yeah, who they're connected to. Because I always think, I'm a futurist. So I'm always thinking about the future. if things end up happening and then they don't work out, and I'm not a negative thinker, but I'm just thinking, and they're connected to this very important person, I don't know if I would want my business being maybe shared with them, or maybe they're knowing that we're broken. I don't know. So I think it just depends. There's a whole lot of, but I think I would go for it. And then if they're connected to someone who I don't necessarily know that well.
But you could open it as a conversation, not a, hi, I'm single. Are you like that? I wouldn't go in strong like that. Or like, you're so
connect, pretty. Wink emoji, eggplant.
Okay. No eggplant on LinkedIn.
Eggplant or, you know,
married woman.
I find it interesting because a lot of people.
Was like, I forgot. I don't know what an eggplant means. I'm married. I'm sorry, Lisa.
Oh, no, that's okay. And make sure the water emoji is not by that either. So if I find it interesting that there are a lot of people on LinkedIn now. This must be happening quite a bit because on LinkedIn now, typically it's just you, your professional image. A lot of people are putting them and their spouse, or at least for me, I'm in an industry that is heavy equipment, ag equipment, and dealerships that sell that equipment to build America and feed America. And so a lot of the men and women will have pictures of their spouse and them even on their LinkedIn profile.
What?
So for me, they do. And I find that interesting. Mm-hmm. I know that I think I shared with you guys that I had access to a lot of the LinkedIn profiles within companies that I've worked with, as well as our customers, because I know how to set it up. I know the SEO and keywords that they should be using in the industry to help not only find, you know, prospects for employment, but also future customers and connect with those and just make them look more legit. And so for me, I had the opportunity to be in one of the young ladies' LinkedIn profiles, and she got approached. This was about 2 years ago. It's the first time that it had ever happened. Like the lady in the article, it was a bit infantile as to hope we get to meet and go for a drink only by ourselves at the next conference. And if there's anything I can do to help you, you just let me know. I'm here for you. And we all said, you know, at least he knows what he wants. But I think when you say, would you approach someone, there's so many others. LinkedIn, although it's becoming more personal, and I think, you know, since it was recently purchased, what was that, 2.5 years ago, I think it is becoming more personal. But I do still think it is a business platform. Yeah. And so if you find somebody somewhere else, I would probably approach them in that way. However, if you're going to, like I do as a marketer for our sales team, stalk them, know everything about them, where they're going to be, what conferences, getting to know them on a personal level, to date them is interesting because you get to understand how they think, how they respond, if they're active on that social media. And so seeing that as a kind of a voyeurism, looking into what they might behave like at home or at least in the office is a great way to look at that versus where on other socials, they're kind of protecting or projecting this, you know, lifestyle. So, you know, just looking at some of the things that they commented on the feeds, how they're going to respond to different, certainly business situations, but it's becoming more personal. So I think it'd be a great place to research someone. And then if you, like you said, Barbara, know different people and you're connected, they can introduce you. You don't necessarily even have to reach out, or you see the events that they might be going to and you just happen to be at that event.
Oh, that's a good idea. Okay, there you go. Jen, what do you say?
Yeah, well, I just want to say, I feel like I have nothing to add to this conversation. I've been married for 20 years. However, I have seen the flip side of, you know, communities and women that I'm connected with of being on the receiving end of very, you know, respectful approaches on LinkedIn and very disrespectful ones. And so LinkedIn can be a place for validation of someone's profile, because now that they have verified profiles, you know that the chances of what someone's putting out on LinkedIn, as far as is their association and profession, it's pretty valid. That being said, profiles can be created and things can be faked. So deep fakes, be very careful. I think it's very, the DMs I've received, because I don't put a ton of my personal life on there for various, just for personal reasons. I've gotten approached very disrespectfully, and I've gotten approached, you know, very respectfully under the guises of business and whatnot. for me, how I sort of protect myself is just my ideal target market are women. I work with women. And so when I start to, when my radar goes up, which is very strong, I'll allow followers. If someone's really creepy, I will block them. That's how I do.
There you go. That's how you roll. I want to say goodbye. We had to say goodbye to Teresa. I'm going to say goodbye to Lisa. Hang tight. You two will end the show. Thank you, Lisa. We'll text.
Thank you so much for having me.
You got it. She has a client meeting. I want to say thank you to you all. We did run a little bit late. This was such good topics. And I just appreciate the two of you joining me today. And before we end the show, I want to invite everyone to watch the second act with Barbara Brooks right here every Thursday morning at 9 a.m. Mountain Time. You can also, you're probably listening now inside of YouTube, you can watch the show, but also on podcasts, everywhere you get your podcasts. And this show was brought to you today by my personal / everyone in this market, it seems like, a nurse practitioner with the Cunningham Clinic. I'm actually on Mounjaro thanks to her because I hit 236 pounds about a year and a half ago, thanks COVID, and I couldn't lose it. And so by February, I was just at 225 pounds. So I joined a medical weight loss program because I have high cholesterol and I have high blood pressure. Oh my Lord, y'all, I had to see the doctor to make sure, first of all, we need to do that. To make sure everything is good to go with my body. And I learned that I have high cholesterol and I'm also pre-diabetic, darn it. So I decided to do this medical weight loss program with the Cunningham Clinic and I have lost 15 pounds. Woo! I'm wearing a dress today that it was like being a Pop Biscuit. I'm wearing this dress in the past. So I say, if you're in the Denver area, I highly recommend Kimberly because she made me do every lab possible, even though I just had my labs done from my doctor months before. So I highly recommend the Cunningham Clinic, and today's broadcast is brought to you by them. It's the CunninghamClinic.com. But join us every Thursday. This is every month, the first Thursday of the month. I'm going to invite new guests or maybe even invite these ladies back to join me. We'll talk about hot topics that are very important to us middle-lessent, solo agers, and those that are married agers. I just made that one up. And I just say thank you and everyone have a really great day and we'll talk to you soon. Thank you to the two of you.
Bye.
Bye.